In the Acts of the Apostles, the disciples or followers of Jesus were called the followers of the name. Twice it's mentioned, for the sake of the name, or to preach in his name. Later on, they would be called the followers of the way, and then around the year 80 or thereabouts, at Antioch, they'd be called Christians, and then later on, around the year 100, Catholics, Catholic being universal Christian. So there was a name change with regards to us, the members of God's church. What, however, didn't change within the church was this essential ingredient called the papacy. And today you've just heard the long gospel about the primacy of the papacy. We recall in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus appoints Simon, son of John, as rock or Kephas, or in English, Peter, head of the church. On this occasion, at the Sea of Tiberias, where a beautiful blue stone church now is built, this is where he asserts his primacy and entrusts him with the role of being head of the universal church, as Francis is today, Peter was back then. And after our Lord brings them away from fishing for fish, which they couldn't catch because now they're meant to be fishing for human souls, and notice that the net wasn't broken. In other words, as many as possible can fit into God's church without breaking the church. And also the number 153 is symbolic. I put why it's 153 on the bulletin. But notice the discourse. Our Lord comes to them, asserts their role as bishops, and then selects Peter out, and three times asks him, "Do you love me?" Then at the threefold reply, he's told that one day, somewhere, you will be told to stretch out your hands and chains or ropes will be put around them and you'll be taken where you'd rather not go. And as St. John, who knew how he died around this year 60 or 65, that was by crucifixion in Rome, the centre of the Roman Empire. That's where Peter would end up as bishop of that city and there die for the sake of the Lord. And as tradition had it, he died upside down, not being regarded as being worthy to be crucified in the same way that Christ was when he was absent. And of course, today we know through archaeology that he was buried under the present Basilica of St. Peter's, which is the largest church in the Western world. This scene, this event, is most pertinent even today. And the language which was put into the Greek of the New Testament coin reveals much. In Greek, there are four different words for our one word, love, in English. And two different verbs are used here. And unless you unpack that, the sense of the discourse loses something. When Jesus had selected Peter as head of the church and now demanded from him a threefold affirmation of love to make up for his threefold denial on that night, or rather early morning, Good Friday, the question asked of Peter is not the reply that he gives. Jesus says to him, "Do you love me?" He uses the verb agapine, which is a unique Greek verb, not common in classical Greek, but it is common in the scriptures, as a form of consecrated love. Do you give totally yourself to me in a consecrated way? The reply given by Peter is of a lower level. He says, using the Greek word philine, "You know that we are friends, companions, or mates." So that's how the discourse goes. "Simon, son of John, do you consecrate yourself again to me in a total way like you did on Holy Thursday night?" And he says, I love you as a mate, a friend. In other words, I failed you the last time I made that commitment. I went so far out on the limb, and then the limb of my will collapsed. If you've patted a dog and been bitten by a dog, you're very reluctant to pat another dog. Peter was very reluctant to go out and make a commitment which he had already failed a few weeks before. And so he replies in a lesser manner, and Jesus says to him, "Feed my lambs," which means you are in charge of every person who enters my church. Every baptized member of my family is a lamb, You have to feed their souls with doctrine. Then he asked them again, do you love me in a total, consecrated way? And Simon perhaps flinches and says, you know, Lord, I love you in a human, friendly manner. Look after my sheep. In other words, protect, care for my bishops. You will appoint them. There are 4,000 today in the church. It will be your job to keep an eye on them. Call synods when necessary. Councils. Instruct them well. Then lastly, he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me in a human, rather friendly, mateship way? Our Lord drops the level of the verb. And Peter was upset because he hadn't been asked in a total, consecrated way. It says, Lord, you know I'm human, you know I'm frail, you know I can only love you in this human capacity. You will have to make up for what is lacking. And that's why he says, you love me in that manner. You know everything. You know that I could fail you again tomorrow, except with your grace. And on your grace, I will rely. And you know I love you in that capacity. And Jesus said to him, feed, nourish the bishops, teach them wisely. Teach them well. If you've ever read the last letter of St. Peter, which he wrote to, the latter is distinct to the former. It's very, very profound and very humble. He did learn and he did love in that total, consecrated way at the end. And of course, in giving his life for Christ, being crucified, there was no doubt regarding his dedication and consecration. Today we think about our present Pope. There's been hundreds of them. And what's unique about the papacy is that whoever becomes Pope, Bishop of Rome, we are assured that we shall be fed, we shall be taught, we shall be guided by the truths of Christ. There's been some terrible popes, morally speaking, down through the ages, and some holy ones. We've witnessed in recent times some extraordinarily gifted, consecrated men called to that office, an office that most would shrink from. We need to pray for our Pope, as we should pray for all popes as we do at each Mass, because they have the primacy of the whole Church. All the sheep, all the lambs of the Church are under them. And we pray for them that they might not lose heart, but with God's grace, give all that they have. The Pope has issued an apostolic exhortation, Pope Francis, after the synod last year, the joy of love, with much practical, pragmatic advice on how we ought to love in marriage and in family life. Let us read the document and support the Pope as we ought, because Peter needed the support of the other bishops, and he did win support of them by his heroism and by his authority. We need to support the Pope because the Pope is the head of the Church, and that's what being a Catholic is. The name may change over time, but the ingredient of the Church and how it is designed and functions was set up by Christ. Then, respecting the Holy Father, we respect Christ, who gave us the papacy so long ago. We pray for this Pope that he might have the same consecrated love that Simon Peter had at the end for the Lord himself. Praise be Jesus Christ.